One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Ruined.
I'm Allison Livey.
Oh, I was just was trying to trip you up. And this
you
is Hallie.
Did. Kiefer. I legitimately didn't know what to, I was like, do I say something? We know how to do
I'm
this.
So
we've been doing this for so long.
And yet I guess that's where this podcast really was born, is loving to see you be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is kind of the underlying premise of everything we do here.
And I can still do it after all this year.
All this year is 40 years at this point. It's been so long. It is November. We have finished our spooky, scary October extravaganza spooktacular, Phantasmagorium. We never had a name for it, but I am happy that we're not eating disgusting candy before we record this episode.
Last night, my boyfriend, the boyfriend of the pod, Dave.
boyfriend of the pod.
Forced me to keep the Good and Plenty's and black licorice. And I think it was last night, the night before, admitted to me that he had been eating the Good and Plenty's. And it was, you just said, I've been cheating on you. Because I understand that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sneaking Good and Plenty's, I can't wrap my head around it.
You could walk two blocks away to a Walgreens and get any candy available to man. And you are snacking on, at this point, weeks old Good and Plenty's.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got it done. Hopefully you guys are still screaming, either because of our, the episodes or from the candy that you ate in solidarity with us. And if you're done screaming because of October, you can start screaming because today is election day.
Happy election day. I hope you're listening to this while waiting online to vote, which is hopefully less than 11 hours, but no promises depending on states.
Yeah, I feel depending on what you listen to this, you'll already know who the president is, and we don't. To stand with you and give you fuel for voting, we thought, what better movie to do than, of course, The Purge election year?
That sounds like a headline, not a movie, but okay.
So let's talk about it. So we always have Allison watch the trailer, which we also suggest you do, because even if you're not going to watch the movie, it gives you a lot of here's what the characters look like, fun context and color. Allison, what did you think about the trailer for The Purge election year?
I feel like it's not aversion therapy. What's the therapy that's for when you are exposure therapy.
Yes.
could I have aversion therapy for all of my fears? Immersion therapy. It felt really intense to watch this being, 15 days or something out from the election. There's just obviously thematic threads that you can tie to our reality, which will make me never sleep again. So it was very scary. That's my summation.
So I like to take a baseline scary before we ruin a movie for you. Allison, how scary do you find American politics?
Perhaps the scariest of everything we've covered. Scarier than zombies or the paranormal or motherhood or any of those other topics. This is obviously peak height scary. And for the reason being, it's real.
Yeah.
The cruelty of American politics and the impossibility of getting through and changing them is terrifying.
Right. And so this movie is, compared to the other previous ones, is less of a personal story about people going through the purge or trying to survive the purge. But this is about the slow bureaucracy of the Washington, D.C. and how something like this could be put in motion and how difficult it would be to then uninstitute the purge. So that and that's why this movie is more of an action horror movie versus the other ones. But I don't know. We're a couple weeks out while we're recording this. I think I'm just at the exact mental space to watch The Purge election year, because the whole time I'm like, man, they're so right.
I know.
Man, these are interesting, relevant points in this movie.
Oh, God, I'm scared. Okay.
All right. So, and of course, the other question I'd like to ask Allison, do you think there'll be a twist? And if so, would you like to guess that twist?
I feel like this movie will definitely have a twist. I feel, for having never seen any of the Purge movies, obviously, I assume they all do. I got to say that it's like somebody who you think is on the good side is on the bad side. Like that kind of classic, like,
great
shock, you know?
Great guess. Let us begin. We open on the George Clinton song, Give Up the Funk. And we are in a family home. The walls are sprayed with blood. And a purger, a man in a terrifying mask, has a family tied up on the couch, sort of funny game style.
Oh, okay. Familiar.
And he's telling them, this is why I picked these songs. I made a purge playlist. And the idea of you're about to be murdered, and then you have to hear about some guy's playlist is just ice up my veins.
Yeah, that's, just bring on the violence. I can't hear
terrifying.
A man tell me about music.
And similar to Funny Games, he says to the family, we've played a lot of games tonight. We have one more game. And the game is called Mommy's Choice. Mm. And so, Mommy, you're going to have to decide who survives the purge this year. Cut to 18 years later. It's 2 days before the annual purge. And they don't say what year it is because, like, it feels just modern times. But I guess somebody did the calculus online. Technically, it's 2040 because the purge has been going on for at least 25 years.
I love that someone did that.
Yes. God bless. God bless everyone on Reddit and Wikipedia. And so we see there's, like, been rioting breaking out because the party in power is the pro-purge party, which is
so
called the
Republicans?
I mean, yes. It's called the New Founding Fathers Association.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
And, they are conservative, religious, all
white.
Elderly white men, obsessed with maintaining power.
Yep.
And one of the ways they've been doing it is, essentially, they have been using the purge to cull or eliminate the poor population so that they do not have to then spend money on social services.
Oh,
right. And this is something that has been alluded to.
Is the purge the coronavirus? Like, I mean, that's even in the trailer, I was seeing those parallels and I was like,
yeah,
this is hard to watch.
Yeah, I guess this is the coronavirus is nature's purge. And the new founding fathers are the Republicans saying, well, actually, if you think about it, this is good. Like, you know, watching this, you're like, well, this can't possibly be good. However, the people in it, in order to maintain power, this is one of the mechanisms they use.
Right.
But there's sort of been mounting, as there would be mounting frustration and activism and protesting against the purge.
Yeah.
And we meet a character, Dante Bishop, who is featured in a previous purge movie played by Edwin Hodge. And Dante Bishop is like the face of, you know, the anti-purge movement.
Okay.
And he's the one saying they've been killing the poor population to reduce spending. Like, this has to end. Like, you know, that kind of thing. And so the establishment candidate, his name is Minister Edwidge Owens.
Oh, my God. That's, like, nightmare-inducing just to hear that, like, candidate minister.
Exactly.
Like, I don't like that at all.
Yes. He's extremely pro-purge. He's being paid, essentially, for by the new founding fathers.
This is candidate for president?
Yes, for president. Sorry, yes.
Okay.
So this is for the presidency. And his opponent is an independent senator named Charlene Roan, but they call her Charlie. Okay. She is in that first scene, the family on the couch. There's like a young woman who's supposed to be like, you know, in her early 20s, the daughter of the family.
Uh-huh.
She's the daughter. So what we understand from this is that her mother picked her to survive. And so Senator Roan's entire family was killed that purge night 18 years ago. Her parents and her brother are dead. So she has survived. So as you can imagine, she is very anti-purge.
Yes.
And is running against the purge. That's her platform. She has some other concerns, but it's mostly about the thing, the purge.
I would have no other no other issues, no other policy stances. I would only be focused on this.
Yeah,
that would be my whole world.
What else is there to say? Exactly. It's the purge is bad.
This is it.
And I feel like they do, like that you sort of see the founding fathers, like they're watching her, you know, give a speech or whatever, and the head of the new founding father, his name is Cullen Warrens, and he you know he's a villain. He has all these like lines like, I'm sick of these idealistic pigs. they all want to have. Some cannot have. Oh, like, all the lines are like, they're great. I love this kind of like B-movie, like glowering, you know, kind of villain or whatever around like a gigantic table.
Yeah.
And so we also see some other supporters. We see Harmon James will come back later. They're all like these like incredibly sickly looking older white men. And so basically what you find out is, you know, yeah, sure, they could keep disenfranchising voters or keep killing poor people so they can't vote. But right. Wouldn't it just be simpler if we assassinate Senator Roan to take her out so there's no possibility that she could win?
Wow. That is not surprising.
Or as Caleb Warren says, we're going to use this year's purge to do some spring cleaning. And that's the other issue with the purge is the purge enables you to do these things. You know, so like, hopefully, I mean, knock on wood, but like right. Currently, political assassinations, that's a big thumbs down in America.
For now.
For now. And I want to be very clear. I understand they can change it. It has not been true in the past, you know. And so it's sort of like the purge that enables people to do all these, put into place all these mechanisms they wouldn't necessarily be able to afterwards.
Right.
So it is the day before the purge, and there's a debate between Minister Owens and Senator Roan. And Minister Owens is like, my family will be at midnight purge mass because I believe in the purge. And you realize, oh, they've co-opted religion. And this is like, basically the argument is that the purge is like a sacrifice that the country has to make where everyone gets all their violence and anger out so that we could be a functional society the rest of the time.
Okay, sure. So, yeah, it's like the high holidays.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah.
But no, I never want to like tie something violent like this to Judaism. But like, how are the old white men not killed in the purge?
So basically the people, there are certain rules around the purge. In years
of
past,
of course, you have to like, have rules around the 12 hours of lawlessness and violence. Exactly.
And so basically they established that like the highest level of, like politicians can't be killed.
But but they made it. Oh God, I hate this country.
See, Allison, these are the arguments the anti-purge activists are making. And what I get is compelling about the movie is that like, then the arguments back from the new founding fathers, they get so in the weeds. You know what I mean? Like
but
Senator
like they're
Roan,
trying to kill her. Like she's a politician.
Well, so Senator Roan says this is unfair. It's disgusting. Like, and the other thing is like, yeah, like politicians are protected. And the wealthy elite could essentially just, like, barricade themselves inside their homes.
Right.
If you're homeless or poor or vulnerable, you don't have those protections. So she's making this argument, like, it's inherently unfair. We all know that the poor are the people who suffer the most. And so in response, the new founding fathers are like, you're right. It should be equal. So now this year, no one is protected, including politicians.
Okay. Got it.
So, which is a very neoliberal idea, where it's like, you're right, there should be equality, the equality of everyone gets to die.
Right.
But to your point, yeah, they've made it now that so everyone is now vulnerable. Why they did that, of course, is that they want to kill the senator. So they're like, great, no problem, you will not be protected either.
You know, it's like universal healthcare in this country. It's like, well, nobody gets it, but Trump can pay $750 and get the best medical care that anyone's ever seen for a virus that everybody else dies from. It's cool. It's like totally a loophole that we're all fine with.
And the people who support him will defend it to the death. So the thing is like, you also see it's like people defending this in the movie where it's like, okay, but you could be killed.
Right.
But it's because they've been indoctrinated. You're like, oh, if this person who we agree with the new founding fathers, ergo, everything they do is right. But the thing is, the reason that the new founding fathers wanted to assassinate Senator Roan is because she's actually very popular. Like, her polling is doing really well. Yeah. So they're genuinely afraid that she will come in and just switch everything up, and then they'll be able to lose the positions of power.
Got it.
The other main character in the movie is named Leo Barnes, played by Frank Grillo. And he is featured in the movie The Purge Anarchy. So he's the same character. He used to be an LAPD officer, and now he's the head of Senator Roan's security. But he's like, you know, okay, apparently they've changed the rules, so we have to put her in a safe house. She's like, I'm not going to be a safe house. Like, if they think I'm elitist, they won't vote for me, so I'm going to stay in my own home.
Right.
Which is probably fair. So he's like, okay, we're going to barricade this thing up. We're going to turn this into a fortress, right? So now he's making all these plans.
Okay.
You know, and everyone's sort of loving it. You know what I mean? And I just don't think, and this is another thing, it's like, so The purge is before the election. I just don't think that that seems fair.
Yeah, no. I was going to ask, like, where we are. Like, obviously the election hasn't happened because they want to kill her before it can happen. But, like, you shouldn't be able to have a purge in an election year the same way that you shouldn't be able to fill a Supreme Court vacancy in an election year.
Yeah. For reasons that are not explained, the purge happens in March 31st, and then the election happens May 26th. I don't know whether they just changed that because this came out in June, so we wanted it to be
it to feel recent?
Probably. I mean, also think, like, that's probably the reason, like, the anti-purge candidate is, like, a white, blonde female. I think they were trying to go for, like, the Hillary Clinton analogy. So as a result, you know, the Minister Owens, like, snooze. Can you believe what this boring bitch has to say? You know, trying to, like, be like, if I wanted to be bored, I'd read a book, you know?
Oh, my God.
So their debate, which, again, Senator Roan seems to have won, the audience is going nuts, you know, is being watched by the other characters that we're going to follow. The movie Joe, who's like a middle-aged black man, his employee Marcos, who's a Mexican immigrant who works in his deli, Lainey, who's also black, and she is, they all live in D.C., and she's sort of like a neighborhood fixture. She grew up there, and she knows Joe, you know, just from like growing up around there.
Yeah.
And then Irish Ike, who is only there to say, the dialogue is maybe the weakest part of this. Let us say it's like Irish Ike, they go like, they're all talking like, can she win? And Marcos is like, if she wins Florida, she could win. Joe's the one who's like, they're never going to change. They always say they're going to take the purge away, but we all know that's a lie. And Lainey's also the similarly like, all politicians are corrupt. Like, they all want to have the purge. And they go to Irish Ike and they're like, Ike, what do you think? And he goes, I'm sorry, I was thinking about waffles and pussy. The phrase waffles and pussy is said so many times during this movie from different characters.
Why?
It's like a running joke, but it's not funny enough to be like, at a certain point, you're like, all right, guys.
Enough with the waffles and the pussy.
But, you know, so they're kind of, they're just having like a debate about like, can she actually win? Is this actually possible, you know? And that's when we hear about, oh, we've made the changes. So now everyone is vulnerable to the purge. There's no one who's protected. So Leo's putting together this safe house, and we're sort of cutting back between the safe house. They're getting her set up and Joe's corner store. And at Joe's corner store slash deli, these two teenage girls come in, and one of them, Kimmy, goes to steal a candy bar. And Joe's sort of like, put it back or I'll call the cops or whatever, because the purge has not begun. If anything, you should just wait, whatever, 12 hours. And you come back and steal all the candy you want. But she's just like, don't you, you cocksucking pig, you know, all this horrible stuff to Joe. It's like, he's just trying to run a deli, girls.
Yeah.
And so Lainey comes over and the teenage girls recognize her as this like legendary local purger. And they're like, oh, they used to call you La Pequeña Muerta. You killed, like you were famous for being the worst purger. And you see Lainey's face kind of fall. And that's sort of her backstory is that she used to be in her youth. Out here killing people, basically.
Oof.
And now she has been reformed and she's an adult, but she still is recognizable in the neighborhood as like, oh, you used to be this badass.
Yeah.
And now you're just like some regular lady, you know? So she forces the girls to put the candy bar back. But before they leave, Kimmy gives Joe this look like, we'll be back. And so you know, just from that alone, they're going to come back during the purge and they're going to fuck up his shit, right? And so they're sort of trying to prepare. Joe gets a call from his insurance, purge insurance, because everyone has to get purge insurance.
Purge insurance.
So then it's also about like health insurance. So basically his purge insurance goes up because there's like no laws regulating what you're allowed to charge. And so he can't afford it. So Joe's plan is I'm going to stay here during the purge and protect my deli because I have nothing else.
And if it gets destroyed, then he has nothing.
And there's no recourse because
that's
it's legal.
So dark.
It's so dark. And it's just like, he doesn't have a family or kids or whatever. And Marcos and Lainey are like, don't do it. It's not worth it. Just go home. You know, most people just stay home. Like, yeah, there's obviously people going out crazy and trying to kill people. But most people, we're to understand, just hunker down.
Right.
If they have homes and just sort of try to get through it. Right. But he's like, I have to be here. I'm just going to set up shop, you know. Meanwhile, over at Senator Roan's house, they're putting up all these barricades. They have guards. They have snipers. You know, Leo has created this whole system of videos to monitor it. However, we already know it's not going to pan out.
How could it possibly? Yeah, it's like, then there's no movie.
So now we're about 12 minutes. The purge is right about to begin.
This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge, sanctioned by the U.S. government.
So the purge itself is 12 hours long, so it's from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And they send out alarms, they play it on the TV, and it's like official. Everybody knows this is about to happen. Lainey gets picked up by like a civilian ambulance, probably to make up for all of these horrible things she did in her youth. She is now an activist herself, and she's driving around with this woman, Dawn, providing like paramedic help.
Okay.
So, because technically, like, there's no 911. So right. It's not like if you get purged, you could call somebody.
So they're just like driving around being like, if we see something, we'll do something and help people.
Yeah, and boy, do they.
I mean, I bet they see a lot of shit.
Right. Aside from the main plot, there's all these like vignettes of them driving through the night. And you just see like, Lainey just looks over and there's just a bunch of guys using a guillotine on someone. Like they look and there's just like women dancing in white dresses and like stabbing a hanging body, like hanging from a tree.
Are we to believe that most of the purgers are wealthy people killing the poor?
Yes.
Or poor killing the poor?
I think both. Another thing that we see is on the news, we see that there are purge tourists who come over from other countries. So, like, they interview, like, this, like, South African group of people coming over. They're like, we came to kill America. This is the best part of being American, you know?
Oh, God.
So there are purge tourists. So there's people who are actively seeking this out as like a blood sport.
Right.
So that's all going on. But then additionally, our understanding is that the government is like sort of clearing house and killing all of these homeless and poor people systematically. Okay. So yes. not for the alleged reasons of like, we have to get all our anger out or whatever to
right.
function.
They're not
society.
Angry. They're selfish.
Yeah. They don't want to have to pay for people's housing right. and medical care and that kind of thing. And now the purge is on, okay? It's happening. Lainey and Dawn are driving around. Joe and eventually Marcos are on the roof of his deli to probably just like basically like just shoot anyone who's trying to go into the deli. And Senator Roan and Leo are locked into her home. And they sort of have like, in the 90s they would have a romance, like if this was a 90s movie.
Right.
But they don't really go there, and I understand why. Part of me is like, listen, just let's do this, you know, like,
give us a little bit of sexual tension.
Yeah. So they're there, and they sort of have a heart-to-heart, and we find out, if you haven't seen the movie before, Leo says to her, basically tells her the events of the Purge Anarchy, which is kind of nice.
Oh, that's nice.
So when he was a cop, his son was killed by a drunk driver, not during the Purge. And that drunk driver then got off, like didn't have to serve any time. So during the purge, Leo decided that he was going to kill the driver. But while he's going to this guy's house, ends up like helping these people and having like a whole like transformative adventure sort
yes.
of.
Yes.
So then by the time he gets to the driver's house, he chooses to have mercy on him and not kill him. And in turn, the driver then saves Leo immediately from somebody else. And he says the purge psychologically like convinced me I was allowed to, like, go to the darkest place in my mind.
Yeah.
And, like, it sort of gave me permission to do something that I only then realized when I tried to do it was wrong and nobody should do it.
Right.
And that's the flaw in the purge, but also I think that's the, you know, the metaphor to our politics.
Absolutely.
Is like, yeah, if you let people do stuff, they're going to do it. It is going to be a whole mess, you know?
Right.
So they're all kind of, like, they're in their own, you know, different situations. Kimmy shows up with her teenage slaughter gang. And their cars are covered in Christmas lights, and they have chainsaws and guns. And they're about to break into the deli, and Marcos shoots her in the ear.
Okay.
And instead of being like, oh, my God, I'm 16. I got to go home or something.
Right.
She says, I'll be back, and I'm going to get my candy bar. Again, not every line of dialogue is perfect in this
no,
film.
No, that's okay.
So he's been able to scare them off, and Marcos sort of has this moment where Joe's like, you know, I can't help but notice that you seem to be some sort of, like, sniper or like crack shot. Like you made an insane shot that like
right.
no normal person would be able to make. And Marcos doesn't exactly say it, but the implication is that he was in a gang essentially to survive when he was in Mexico.
Sure.
And he lived in Juarez, and that's why he's such a good shot. But
marksman,
like he's
yeah.
also like someone where like he has seen so much violence and he's like, this violence is destructive to society.
Right.
And I have personal experiences.
Yes.
So finally over at Senator Roan's house, everything seems to be good. Unfortunately, you see the chief of security. I don't know if he's a police chief or the chief of security. Anywho, somebody who's working with Senator Roan to set up the house goes and he sort of creates like a video loop on the security cameras.
Interesting.
So it's not a live feed anymore.
Oh.
And then this other agent, Eric, we've seen a couple times, he texts an unknown number, we're set. And we realize.
Of course.
Of course, they are being paid or they are in, you know, cahoots with the founding fathers to have the Senator Roan assassinated.
I was correct.
And yes, exactly. Who else would you have come kill a senator? Of course, a neo-Nazi paramilitary group.
Perfect.
And you know they're neo-Nazis because they literally have, like, they descend around the house. You know, they're in the backyard sort of surrounding the house. Literally, the backs of their vests say white power.
Oh.
There's, like, Confederate flags on, like, their uniforms.
Even knowing that it's a movie and that it's fake, it's still, like, seeing those things. You're like, okay, but those things are real. Like, it's, like, hard to see that.
And I think that's why when I saw this, like, in 2016, I'm like, it wasn't like, oh, that could never happen. I felt like, okay, well, that's, like, dramatized for reality. Now I'm like, somebody probably tried to call and get that white power vest.
I know.
You know, like, someone on the phone, like, can I order this?
Yeah, it's on Amazon or something. Like,
so, and also the head of the neo-Nazi paramilitary group is, his name is Danziger, and he just has a full swastika on his neck.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool.
And so Eric, this agent who's we've seen working with Leo, just opens the door, and they come in. But luckily, Leo notices, he goes to call one of these snipers on the roof, and he realizes, oh, I'm not watching live video, I'm watching a loop. Oof. All the snipers on the roof and all the guards outside have been killed by these neo-Nazis.
Oh, my God.
And so he's like, oh, I knew it. You know, like, God damn it.
Not again.
So he runs into the senator, and he forces her to put on a bulletproof vest, and he's like, I put something in your house I didn't tell you about, and then he pulls a trap door in the floor. So they're able to drop through and get out onto the street before the neo-Nazis get into her room. Because the room they've made is sort of like a, what is it called? Like a safe room. And so they're able to get out. But then now they are literally outside. And they don't know who to trust. They don't know where to go. And it is during the purge. So my question to you, Allison, is what would you do if you were found yourself in this scenario?
What would you do?
I mean, if I'm her, I have a gun. Like, I have found a gun. I'm going to need a weapon. I'm very anti-gun as a human being. But, like, when it's, like, when that's the scenario, like, I would hope that she has, I would acquire a weapon of some kind.
Right.
I feel like higher ground is, like, where I would go.
Oh,
like,
okay. Interesting.
Like rooftops and stuff where, like...
Mm-hmm.
It's like if people are running through the streets like crazy, driving cars through the streets like crazy, like if you went to the top of like a high rise, I mean, you would have to get up there. But like that to me would feel like you'd be the least vulnerable because you'd be the least accessible because people are probably just like slashing and burning whatever's in front of them. And people aren't going to go like to the top of like a 25-story like condo to like find one person unless they knew you were there.
Yeah, I completely agree. We've also seen, like, Joe and Marcos are on the roof of his building. And even then, it's like, oh, right, like, if there's no one around or no one intentionally trying to get to something on the roof, you're probably fine. They're probably going to be fine up there.
That feels like the safest place in my mind, as long as people aren't, like, flying helicopters around.
Well, unfortunately, Allison,
no.
it's not quite yet, but believe me, they will be.
Okay.
You better believe there's a neo-Nazi helicopter in this movie.
Of course.
So they're on the street, and of course, there's two neo-Nazis outside, and so Leo has to physically fight them, which is funny to me, where it's like, he has a gun. We see that he has two guns later on, but he's got to just bare knuckles fight these guys.
Hand to
hand. It's a movie. He has a little knife. I don't know what, like almost like a, he's like a blade. Anywho, he kills him with that as opposed to just shooting them. But hey, maybe he has a limited number of bullets.
Right.
And so the new Nazis have finally broken into the senator's room and they're like, oh, she's gone. Because see the trap door. Fortunately, Leo has also planted a bomb in the senator's room for just this situation. And he detonates it and it blows up not all the neo-Nazis, but many of the neo-Nazis. It also kills Eric. And frankly, he was asking for it. If you're going to, you know, take money from the neo-Nazis and the new founding fathers, that was on you, Eric.
You deserve to die.
So they are running through the city. They are terrified. You know, we see all these different, like, horrible vignettes. And then they end up being tailed by a drone. And they're like, oh, my God, it's a new founding fathers. It's not. It's just a crazy purger with a drone. And it's screaming Russian. And finally, they are descended upon by a bunch of Russian purge tourists.
America is the greatest country in the world.
Because it was 2016, so it's got to be Russian.
Right.
And they're dressed as like a creepy Uncle Sam, creepy Statue of Liberty, creepy Abraham Lincoln. And they're like, America's number one. You know, America's the best country in the world. We love
to purge.
Is that
your Russian accent?
Yes. This was also my South African accent, as you remember earlier.
Yes.
And my Ukrainian accent from Orphan. So, yeah
it's all
pretty
one.
Much.
It's a catch-all.
Exactly. But just as they're about to, these Russian purgers are about to kill Leo and the senator, they all get gunned down. And Leo and the senator are like, what? And they turn around to see who has saved them. And it is, of course, Joe and Marcos. And fortunately, now our plot lines have converged.
Converged. I like that.
So then I don't have
it's
to
like
keep
a Seinfeld episode.
Exactly. And so, and Joe and Marcos, they of course recognize her. So they're like, come with us. So they go back to Joe's deli. And even in the deli they're talking about, Marcos is like, if you win Florida, I'm pretty sure you can take the election. And Joe's
like, still like strategizing.
Yeah. And Joe's like, no, you can't win. You know, like they're, you know, arguing about it. And, you know, they sort of have a conversation. And Joe's plan was, we'll get you out of the city. But he's like, honestly, it's too crazy. We'll just hunker down here. And we should be safe. Joe and Marcos were safe up on the roof. So we'll just hang out. Unfortunately, that's when Kimmy and the murder teens show back up. And she's got way more murder teens with her. And they've got drills. And they're going to drill through, like, the metal security gates.
Oh, my God.
On the deli.
Home Depot must just clean up before the purge.
I do think they probably have a lot of pre-purge advertising.
Yeah.
Being like, do you need a sledgehammer and a gigantic drill? A
giant electric drill and a bunch of rope. Like, ugh.
No, and there's also something at some point where the senator accuses the new founding fathers of getting funding from the NRA, and that really would explain, like, everyone has a gun, and not just, like, a handgun. Mm-hmm. Everyone has,
like
Kimmy, who is,
gun.
Like, a 16-year-old girl, has, yeah, like, a machine gun that she has bedazzled with jewels.
Of course.
Like, clearly there's, like, fire sales, like, there's a 2-for-1 BOGO deal at the gun store or whatever. And so Kimmy's like, I'm going to get my candy bar. Again, she only has the one line. But boy, the actress really does deliver it the best she can. And so they're like, okay, we're going to have to fight our way out of here. And so they call Lainey and they're like, hey, Lainey, we know you're out helping people and like saving people. But could you please come back because there's a bunch of murder teens breaking into the deli.
You're going to need to help us now.
Yeah. And so Lainey's like, hell yeah. And she drives back around just as the teens are about to get in. And finally they give the senator a gun. So the teens are about to get in. Lainey rounds the corner in her civilian ambulance, puts guns in, and just slams into all the murder teens, sending them flying. Like, their shoes
Amazing.
Literally fly off.
Okay.
And their bodies scattered. And then as soon as Lainey gets out, she just guns them all down. Like, just
Great.
Dispatches
Fine.
Them and then kills Kimmy last and just shoots her right in the head.
Great.
And she says, she has a line where it's essentially like, La Bacadia Muerta is back, bitches, which is unnecessary, but again... She gets her line.
Yeah, it's like we just got to have some fun lines and catchphrases for people. The rest of the writing, like, who cares?
Yeah. Meanwhile, some teens were in the front of the building and some ran back to the behind the building. So the teens in the back don't know this is going on. So they're still trying to break in and, like, shooting and, like, trying to drill in. So Joe, Marcos, Leo, and the senator go with Lainey. And they're like, we got it. We cannot stay. The deli is no longer a safe space, you know? And so Lainey says, okay, I'm going to take you somewhere that technically you're not supposed to know about, but we're going to go.
Okay.
So apparently there's an underground, like, triage, like, room set up for the community. And the implication is that, like, the activists, the anti-purge activists have sent up these centers, and they're just operating. It's all volunteer, like, doctors right. and nurses and stuff. And also they also round up all the homeless people and keep them there.
Great.
So it's in like an underground parking garage. But so it's sort of like a secret. But like if you're in the community, you know about it. Because
right.
if people knew about it, purges
then
could potentially
you would
go
just
there.
Go down there and then you're all
exactly.
trapped.
So again, the same, that's the issue with the purge. It all seems like fun and games until you need triage help. And then
right.
there's people running in there and trying to purge.
Right.
But she says something to the effect of like in the community, the unspoken rule is you don't go in there and do anything bad. Like everyone's sort okay. of understanding is that this is allowed to exist. For now. So they're trying to drive there. And then, of course, we see that the neo-Nazis have a helicopter. And they are able to track down the van. And everyone's like, how the hell did they find us? Like, how would they possibly know where we are? Well, it turns out Leo was shot earlier by one of the neo-Nazis when they're trying to escape in the shoulder. The bullet has a tracking device.
Oh,
so they've
no.
been able to track them this whole time.
Oh, so they're going to have to get that out.
So there's a helicopter tracking the civilian ambulance, and then there's like a team on the ground in like a truck driving after them. So he has to pull it out of his shoulder.
Oh my God.
And Marcos, because he's a genius, is like, just throw it on the ground. They're not going to know if it's in your body. Like, just throw it out the fucking window. And just as we're about to open the door to throw it out, a gang of purgers surrounds their ambulance.
Oh, God.
And they're like, shit.
God damn it.
And Joe, because he's like older and, you know, he's sort of like this community institution, is always talking about like, I was no saint when I was your age either. But like, you got to contribute to the community, whatever. And so all these people are swarming the van, and Joe whistles, and the gang outside whistles back. And he's like, oh, that was a Crip whistle. I used to be a Crip. And these are Crips, so we should be fine. So they open the door, and the Crips are like, yeah, this is totally fine. But you have to take one of our friends to the triage center. So they like load up this injured guy into the ambulance, and basically they give the Crips the bullet. So now the neo-Nazis are going to meet up with this.
That's what I was
going
to say. It's like, send them on a different wild goose chase while, like, instead of just leaving it static.
Exactly. So then we do see, like, the at least the truck of neo-Nazis shows up, finds the bullet, and they're like, where'd he go? And they turn around, and then this gigantic gang of guys gets to mow down a team of neo-Nazis.
I like that.
Yeah, and it just felt fun. Yeah, if someone has to be mowed down, at least it could be these neo-Nazis who are trying to assassinate a sitting senator. They've sort of temporarily escaped. Lainey is able to get them into this makeshift triage hospital. And it is filled with homeless people. And, like, every time anyone comes in, everyone's like, ugh.
Are you a... No?
Exactly. Nope. So it turns out that hospital has been set up by Dante Bishop, who is the activist we saw earlier. And his community, his organization, I guess they're supposed to be like the Black Panthers, where it's like they're setting up all these community hospitals and stuff underground. So people could use them, but like the government doesn't know about them. So they can't, you know, we'll find out what their plans are. But essentially they are operating these things. And the senator gets to like meet but really sit down with her constituents and really just get to hear what they have to say about the purge. Nothing good. And so now they're like, okay, so I guess we're safe. I guess we could just hang out here. We have 40 more minutes of the film, but you know what? It's probably we're fine, you know?
Yeah.
Joe tells Lainey and Marcos, I want to go back to the deli and I will just leave and walk if you won't drive me. And it's like, Joe, give it up.
No.
It's not worth it.
A deli isn't worth it.
Your life?
Like, I get it. It's your entire livelihood. It's your business.
It's all you have.
All of your money.
Right.
However, like, you're going to die.
You're going to be gunned down. But Lainey says, okay, I will drive you and Marcos back. And I'm going to come back here and keep doing my patrol. Because we don't know. It's not midnight yet. You know, it's still like the first 5 hours of the purge. So we got plenty of purge to go. And so they're driving them back. But as they drive them back, they see a bunch of like military government trucks. And they realize, oh, no, they're going to this underground hospital. And our understanding is that they are going to just scoop up all those homeless people and kill them because they're allowed to on the purge.
Oh, and
what we later find out is they're actually going there specifically to kill Dante Bishop because he is the head of this organization that's providing all this anti-purge support. So they aren't there going there for the senator. She just happens to be there. But also if she's there, of course they're going to kill her.
Yeah, just kill her.
So then Lainey and Joe they got everyone has cell phone reception everywhere they're at. They're able to call Leo and the senator, even though they are in an underground facility. It's like, okay. I also imagine during the purge, like the phone lines would be very busy, but they're able to get through them and said, everyone has to get out right now.
Yeah.
So while Leo and the senator are in the underground facility, Leo is seeing like a bunch of people, like a hubbub. And because he's so paranoid about the senator being betrayed and the senator's like closest security guards betraying her to the new founding fathers, he's like, is the same thing happening here? Like, did we just show up and now somebody's calling them? So he bursts into their office. He's like, I need to know what's happening right now. And the senator follows him in and they realize, oh, the activists aren't talking about them. Then Dante Bishop and the activists are going to midnight mass to assassinate her opponent.
Yes, great. I love it.
Minister Owens.
Kill him.
So now there's like a double assassination. So they try to assassinate her, and now the activists are trying to assassinate Minister Owens. And Dante's like, listen, this has been in the works for a long time. We're going to use these tunnels to go up to the church. And Senator Roan, because she's a good person, I understand she has to, she's like, we can't do it this way. if you do this, you're no better than them.
She's like, right, but sure, also,
technically.
But like, just, but like, the lives you would save.
Yeah, but to her point, she also says, like, if he's killed, he'll become a martyr to the cause. Ostensibly, his vice president would just become president. It doesn't actually change anything.
It's all the same party.
Exactly. And she's not wrong, but Dante's like, I hear what you're saying, and yet we're going to do it. So, you know, peace out, bitch. So now word of the government raid is happening. So Dante and his team are going to the church because it's almost midnight. Meanwhile, Lainey, Joe, and Marcos are coming back, and they're able to pick up Leo and the senator. And the senator says, we have to go to the church, and I have to stop the assassination of Minister Owens. And Leo's like, the hell we will. That you're making, are you telling me, we're going to drive to Delaware, bitch. Like, there is no way. Like, what are you talking about? And so they're arguing in the car, like, what should we do? What's the moral? Yeah. What's the right thing? Meanwhile, the Nazis, the Danziger, I guess, landed his helicopter. Now there's, like, another truck of Nazis. Finally, T-Bones finds them in T-Bones.
Great.
And is able to pull her out of the wreckage. And now the senator is gone. And they've taken her. So now it's Leo, Joe, Marcos, and Lainey are like, what the hell do we do now? Like, where are they taking her? And Leo says, well, the fact that they didn't just shoot her makes me think I know where they're taking her. They're taking her to the church for midnight purge mass. Again, it all meets up again.
Of course. Yeah, everybody just keeps coming together.
So the senator wakes up, and she's in, like, sort of a white vestment. In the church is called Our Lady of Sorrows. And I think it's supposed to be, like, the Georgetown Cathedral or something.
Sure.
Gorgeous church. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Gorgeous. And so she is strapped to a, like, a Hannibal Lecter-style trolley.
Like a wheeling. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so she's sort of trapped there, and she's gagged, and she's looking around. And there's another guy next to her who's also gagged looking at her. We don't know him.
Okay.
And one of the guys who was at the initial New Founding Fathers meeting, Harmon, is putting on his priest robes, and he looks, like, terrifying and, like, gaunt and scary.
Ugh.
So she's sort of there for this mass, and all these New Founding Fathers people are in the congregation, and they're like,
as we always do, blessed be New Founding Fathers. Let us purge and cleanse our souls. Blessed be America, a nation reborn.
Meanwhile, Leo's team meets up with Dante Bishop's team. So now they are trying to get into the church to save her.
Okay.
And Leo says to Dante, like, this is not an assassination mission now. This is a rescue mission. We have to get her out. And Dante's like, yes, okay. Well,
okay,
of course,
yes.
Obviously,
like, that's
yes.
the priority.
Yes, we will get her out. No problem. So meanwhile, she's strapped down. She can't escape. She's watching this. And, like, so Minister Owens is the one preaching. And he has all these, like, incredibly, like, amazing lines and about, like, we have to purge and purify. Like, Jesus died. Basically, his argument is Jesus died for our sins. So now these people have to die for our sins. So it's actually kind of the same thing. Of course, in Christianity, Jesus decided and sacrificed himself out of the goodness of his being rather than we're going to kill the sitting senator who is running for president.
So that we can keep sinning?
Exactly.
Like, so that we can keep being pieces of shit?
So at this point of the movie, Allison, I have to ask you, who do you think is going to survive?
Who will survive?
I have to, for my own edification and, like, needing to be able to sleep at night in both our world and having heard about this movie, need the senator to survive. I think that her head of security, the guy who, the ex-LAPD guy, is going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I think the deli owner, Joe, will die. I think Lainey will survive.
Okay.
And I forget who else is left.
Marcos.
He could probably die.
Okay.
Not he could die, but he probably will.
Dante Bishop, the activist.
I hope he survives too. So I'm going to say he survives.
And then Minister Owens.
Die.
Okay.
I want him to die. There's plenty of other scary old white men to keep this franchise going. So.
And then we see this church is packed to the gills.
Yep.
These people are just there to be gunned down in this movie.
It's like you're just all going into one place.
And obviously they have a lot of guards and everything, but as we've seen, having guards means nothing because people can immediately dispatch them.
Right.
And then finally, do you want to guess the twist or do you think there will be a twist?
Guess the twist.
I mean, part of me thinks that that twist that I predicted has already happened, but I'm sure there's, like, a surprise coming.
Okay.
Like, and also because, like, I know this isn't, like, the final move, like, that there is the plan for the fifth movie. So part of me thinks there's, like, a cliffhanger-y twist where it's like, but what next, you know?
Owens is preaching, says, blessed be the new founding fathers. Let us purge to cleanse our souls. Everyone's like, purge and purify, you know, like chanting or whatever. Right. So they, the senator's there, and then there's this other guy, poor guy, Lawrence. So they bring out Lawrence, and basically they're going to human sacrifice them. And with the, it's sort of the parody of, like, as a Catholic, like, you drink the blood of Christ and eat the flesh of Christ. Like, you're spilling these people's blood to cleanse you of, like, all of your hatred and sin. And if we do it once per year, then, like, our society is better for it.
Yes.
So Harmon, the priest, goes and he just stabs the Lawrence, and he's blood sprays everywhere, and everyone's like, hooray! Cool. And Owen's like, you're born again through his blood. Meanwhile, Leo, Dante, and, like, all of their people have gotten up into the choir loft, and they bring out the senator next, and they're like, okay, we're all going to sacrifice her. So I guess everyone gets to stab her once. So it's almost like people file out like they're going to get communion. And the first person to stab her is going to be Caleb Warrens, who we saw earlier was the head of the new founding fathers. And they're like, this is okay. So great. Like, she's just, they say, like, she brings, like, a lot of negative energy. And by killing her, we're really going to purge that negative energy, which, like, again, seems kind of like a goop approach to it, but
very,
it's kind of
very
fun.
Goopy.
So right as Caleb Warrens is about to slit her throat, Marcos, who again is a crack shot, shoots him through the head. Perfect. From the choir loft. And then it is just mayhem. Everyone's running.
One shot comes from like another place. It's just like, well, all bets are off.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, Caleb Warrens, you supported the purge, bitch. Did it not occur to you that this could happen? Like, of course someone was going to try to shoot you in the head. It's the purge.
Right.
Why is everyone, it's like, oh my God, people are here shooting
us. I can't believe we're getting hurt. It's like, there's no laws.
I guess it's like that tweet where they're like, you know, I never thought a jaguar would eat my face, said head of jaguars should eat people's faces party or whatever.
Right.
And one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Everyone's like, oh my God, I'm shocked by this incredibly not shocking scenario. So then everyone, you know, like the activists are shooting against like the new founding fathers, guards. There's just blood spraying and everyone running around or whatever. But luckily, Senator Roan is still alive.
Okay.
She's alive, and so is Minister Owens, actually. And so they're like, we got to get her the fuck out of here. There's still 7 more hours of purge.
Oh my God.
And
it's so long.
It's the fact that like millions aren't killed in 12 hours is insane. And so they're going to take her out. And Dante's like, okay, great. We're so glad we could help you. We're still going to kill the Minister Owens. Mm-hmm. Like now that you're rescued, we'd pull that off. It was great. So we're going to kill him. And so the senator is still like, I have to actually win. Like you cannot make him a martyr to the cause. I'm begging you, please don't do this. But there's kind of like distracted, like they're, as they're walking out of the church, they find that the priest had like 2 dozen other people ready to go. Like they were going to kill like dozens of other people.
Oh my God.
So the senator and like Leo and everybody has to stop to like untie them. And they're all like homeless people. And
of course.
They're like, hey, thanks a lot.
This is a huge help. Anyway, we're probably still going to die in the next 6 hours.
So like there's a lot of like stuff going on. And then somebody goes outside to find a car. And it turns out the neo-Nazis have come back. So then like Leo has to find a neo-Nazi. So it's just like total chaos. And then my favorite part is that the priest has not died. And the priest kicks in the door of the room where they're holding all of these sacrificial lambs people. Mm-hmm. He kicks the door and he just fires a shotgun into the room. And I wish there had been more priests firing shotgun. I just love it. And and so the priest and Joe end up in a firefight. And Joe is shot. Okay. And Joe is dying, you know. And so Lady and Marcos are sort of trying to comfort him. Meanwhile, the senator is basically begging Dante Bishop to not kill Minister Owens. And he's like, it's happening. And so he forces her out of the room. And then it's just him and like 2 other people, his like men. And Owens is like, purge, kill me. I want you to kill me. This is God's will that you murder me. And Dante's like, fuck you. You don't tell me what to do. She was unfortunately right. If I kill you, I become you.
Right.
But also it's like, he does have that funny moment of like, oh, you had better win the election now.
Yeah.
Because if not, I'm going to be really pissed that
you're
going
to win Florida, bitch. Like, you have to.
Yeah. So he goes out. And so now the Nazis are back in play and Leo has to fight them. And one of the Nazis shoots Dante Bishop and he dies, but not before he's able to get into a car and drive them into a bunch of Nazis and kill them. So that's good. And our final moment is we're spending it with Joe. And Joe basically is like, I believe, because he'd always been like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, nothing good could happen, you know, whatever. And so is Lainey. And he says, like, I believe you can win. And I believe you can change things. And Lainey's like, I agree. And so Joe dies. And so it's like, well, not that he's the only one I liked. But there is like where it's like, well, the two main black men still had to die in this movie.
Yeah, I don't love that.
But I mean, they got a lot done and they both lived an honest life. They made the world a better place. Cut to 2 months later. And I guess technically the election's on like Memorial Day because this would have come out in June. So it's May 26th and it's voting day. And we see Marcos is like putting back together the deli, you know, because the deli was absolutely trash. You know?
Oh, of course.
And so he's still putting it together and he's watching the election results and she wins in a landslide. And you see that she has won Florida. And he's like, I knew it.
Okay,
I knew she won Florida, you know. And so Lainey comes by. And again, if I've written this movie, they would have a romantic entanglement.
Of course. There's no romance in this film. And that's disappointing.
Right. But hey, I respect her, whatever. But yeah, so the senator wins. And it's essentially like the purge is over. Like she's just going to end the purge. Now, the argument then stands in my mind. It's like, well, couldn't the next, if in the future, someone just reinstate the purge? But I guess that is also American politics where it's like, wow, our person won and now they can institute all this stuff. And it's like, well, in 4 to 8 years, somebody can just come and fuck this up again.
Yeah.
So that's why the Purge franchise is genius, is it could never technically end because we are Americans.
And
we
will constantly changes.
We will always let fucked up stuff happen and we'll elect true maniacs.
Yes.
Which is just another point we want to make is please vote.
Please vote, not just on November 3rd. There are down ticket and special elections all year. Please be aware of those. That's how we avoid this.
And the very end is that we hear on the news that like the new founding fathers, like the supporters, like basically didn't agree with the election results and are now rioting and looting. And it's like, that'll be funny when.
Cool.
Yeah. Anywho, don't vote for Donald Trump. So Allison, now that you've heard what happens in the purge election year, what are some fatal mistakes that you think some people took?
Fatal mistakes.
I guess like living in America would be a huge first problem for me, both in this movie and currently. But I think, you know, I still stand by that higher ground would have been a really good answer for them running around.
Yeah, absolutely.
When they first realized the house was no longer safe. And I also think like, once the senator was safe, like they should have just taken everybody and gotten the hell out of town.
Yes.
Don't try and like do more stuff. Don't try and Joe going back to his deli, like don't go to the deli. Yeah. Part of me thinks like run for the hills, be like as far away from the city as possible. But then if you're far away,
right,
then you're kind of like vulnerable in a different way. So it's a no-win. I guess, like, ever letting a conservative party be in control of the country would be, like, another fatal mistake from, you know, 4 years prior to this film.
Right, yeah. Well, I think you said it all. You covered it.
Those are all the mistakes that I saw.
But I wanted to have a little segment called Plan Your Purge. And I just want to say, I wanted us to plan out if there was a purge, what would we personally do? And yeah, I guess I feel like I would drive to Palm Springs. Like I would try to get as far away from.
I'd stop at the Cabazon outlets on my way if it's within the 12 hours because I would raid the fuck out of a Gucci outlet.
Oh, I would go to In-N-Out. I would get a date shake.
You're getting like a $7 shake. You could afford that, I think.
But it's more that I don't have to pay that $7.
Yes. I would steal a lot of like clothes from stores. That's like what I like. That's all I care about. I don't wish harm on anybody again, except for the nightmares and power that execute that power over the vulnerable and minorities and the poor. So
exactly.
You know, and if those guys happen to die at somebody else's hand, I'm not going to stop it.
I guess what I like about recording this now is that it does sound like the purge is happening outside of your apartment all the time.
It really does sound like I'm just like up here and I'm like, I guess I would go to higher ground. I'm on the third floor. This feels pretty safe.
Right. Just go to the roof. I think you had the right idea.
Yeah.
So finally, on our spooky scale, which of course, just to be clear, is a scale of how scary Allison and I find the movie not whether the movie was good or whether we found it entertaining, which are two totally different scales that we do not use.
Agree.
From 1 to 10 screams, where are we on the spooky scale?
A spooky scale.
Because of our current climate, I will say that this is an 8.
Great.
I mean, the B-movie feel to it is what makes me think it's not quite like a 9 or a 10. Mm-hmm. But because this all feels like it could happen.
Yes.
And it's all just regular human, like real violence.
Yeah.
Very, very, very scary.
I'm going to give it a 6 because it's not scary. I think it's a lot of fun. I didn't find it scary. I mean, we've already seen The Purge. We're familiar with it. But I will say I did have a lot of moments of like, oh boy, yeah, wow, this metaphor, this analogy really held up. And that was very aggravating and distressing. So that fear, I also had that fear of like, boy, this sucks and this is so hot. It's not on the nose. It's like, it's accurate, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you so much for listening, you guys. And again, hopefully you're already voting you have already voted by mail or hopefully wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can get out the vote. And again, wherever you're doing, even if you're voting right now, please keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky.
Yay!
Bye! Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.